Doing anything exceptionally well requires commitment and perseverance. The result of such efforts are those things that enjoy high regard and stand the test of time. We are driven to create exceptional radio by bringing together talent, creativity, determination, preparation, and painstaking craftsmanship. Anything less would not be worth the effort. The Common Man Program starts right now.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
You've got two offenses that are top 10 offenses. Hart decides to drive. Jones tries to defend. Capella will climb the ladder.
Ooh, child, things are going to get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
Nope. His career, correct. And this is the expectations of the season high. Look at Ball. Scooping. Oh! It hit the rafters and dropped! How fun to see that.
Put it together and we'll get it earned up.
Oh, he's celebrating now. Shot clock at 6. Ball. Wow!
This is ridiculous.
He's an acrobat.
Not right.
You can't be frustrated. There's no time to be frustrated. Too much focus and energy. Positive energy has to go to the right way. So there ain't no time for negativity. There ain't no time for frustration. There ain't no time to hang your head down. We got to move on, truck on to the next game.
You know, James still, because of, you know, who he is, he still puts a lot of pressure on you. And that's the great value of having a guy like Chris Paul coupled with him. So, you know, Chris was, you know, had an unbelievable game.
It's a different ball game, you know. The physicality's different. Everything's different all around. And the way the game is played is different. So we got to adjust accordingly. You know, we got to adjust accordingly. The game plans, they're more days off, you know. They're preparing just for us, solely for us, you know. So everything's a little different, so you're seeing, you know, different ideas and tactics used, you know, and you just got to adjust.
We said it was going to be a tough guy game. And in a tough guy game, playoff football in December, you got to execute, and you can't leave plays on the field.
No!
Ooh, child, things are going to get easier. Ooh, child, things will get brighter.
I'm confident that we'll be world champions. That's what I've said right from the start, and I'm still confident of that.
I don't want anybody to start, you know, pulling fingers or start to, you know, take jumping off the ship, so to speak, because if you're going to jump off, then stay off. Because we don't need no, you know, we don't need no fake people on our bandwagon anymore.
Someday. When's that someday going to come?
Someday, some way.
Yeah. Is that what we just did on this one? I was in...
No. Ooh, child.
Well, yeah, but that's what they do. Yeah, but it says someday going to get brighter. That's what the lyrics are.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Oh.
I'm asking, when is that someday going to come? I wasn't talking about someday, some way. Oh. No. I was talking... Do you ever listen to the lyrics of this song?
Sure.
Yeah, it's... Someday, things are gonna get easier. One day, gonna be brighter. Someday, gonna get things. When is that someday happening? When do they play again? Saturday? I don't think it's happening Saturday. I don't think it's happening Did I bring this up to you? Have you ever had a hemorrhoid? What's more annoying, the pain and swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues or the pain and swelling of Minnesota sports teams losing again? James Harden did his best impression of Chris Paul last night. And then Chris Paul did his best impression of Jimmy Harden last night. It's amazing they just changed roles. Boy, you sent me, I heard it. You sent me the Barkley is bitter on Twitter. Do you know, there are so many things that, there are so many things in the world of sports, is your whole life just sports, that push me away. If people wonder, why don't you care as much anymore? City Pages basically described it exactly. You do a great job of, how did they say that? I wonder if I saved that thing from City Pages and if it's handy, like if I could just find it right away. Oh, here it is. Every afternoon, Dan Common Man Cole does an artful job of not giving a bleep. Because I care less and less. Here's another reason why, and this time it's the sports fan. You sent me was it from Twitter?
The NBA on TNT Twitter
account.
Yeah.
Where Chuck Barkley rips, basically says it's time for Big Cat to get in the gym. He's got to work on his game. And then the link, is it a link or whatever, the people that responded to that, ripping Charles Barkley and sticking up for Big Meow.
Yeah.
He's a great player. You know, it's like, did you not watch the last two games? I mean, he's got tons of talent and potential. He was an all-star. But who am I? And just because you've played the game before doesn't mean you have all the answers, right? And you can even disagree with opinions of people that think they have all the answers or played the game. But tell me where Chuck was wrong with what Big Meow did. He scored 8 points two nights ago, and he scored 5 points last night.
Do you want me to play the Barkley audio?
Yes,
for those that...
would you please?
What it really shows me, Ernest, is the limitation of his game. I see why he got a long way to go offensively. I mean, those shots he's getting, those aren't big man shots. Those is a guy like a 7 foot guy shooting fadeaways against the little guys. He's got to get in the gym. First of all, I like him a lot as a person. I like him a lot as a player, but he is so limited offensively. He's got to get in the gym, man, and work on his game this summer.
And then the onslaught of criticism of Chuck. Have you been paying attention, Chuck? Do you watch the games? Because people that have, you know, the basketball community, the Duckies and Bunnies, that are big fans of the Wolves, they can't handle the criticism. They can't take it because they don't want to hear it. All they've been told is Big Meow's a top 15 player, and he's the next great big man, and he does this and he does that, and he's an all-star, and he averages this many points a game, and he gets this many rebounds. He's a double-double machine. All right, well, what happened last night? And then I saw some of those people want to say, well, it's the playoffs. It's too big for him right now. Oh, come on. Once the game starts, you play. I'm so tired of that everybody wants to use the playoff season either as an excuse or reason why. You know, we had it with Winnipeg. They've never won a playoff game before. Well, guess what? There's a first time for everything.
Well, and for Kat, I'm guessing there was more pressure on game 82 versus Denver than in any of these playoff games.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
There's more on the line in that game.
Yeah. And so and then is Butler hurt that badly? Is that what we're blaming it on? Because, you know, was it a knee injury he had and he missed 17 games and he came back? Did he come back for the very last game of the season against Denver?
Last couple games.
Before? He was activated the one before and didn't play, I don't think.
I think he played the last three.
Yeah, because then he played the LA game.
Yeah.
And then he played the Denver game and maybe
Memphis.
There was another one as well.
Memphis.
And don't take this wrong. I don't want somebody to be injured. But I hope he is. I hope that's the reason. Because he was, again, a non-factor last night. My favorite part, though, was the end of the game when our guy, Kevin Harlan, goes, Boy, this is probably a surprise to a lot of people. Final score, 102-82, and I'm thinking, what did we do during 5-3-4? You said Wolves by 20, and I said, I agree with you. How much, Rockets by 20. What was the final score? It was 20 points. How was that a surprise to anybody?
I said Rockets and a route.
Yeah, Rockets and a route, and you said by 20.
Yeah.
You said 20. You called the number exactly.
Did I say that?
You don't remember?
I don't remember saying that. Well, I remember saying Rockets in a route.
You said Rockets in a route, and you said by 20, and I said, I agree. And it was 20 on the night, and I was hoping for 20 on the night, because it was 22, and I think it got to 18 late. And then I think the Rockets took a shot, an easy one that missed. It hung on the rim and went on. That kept that at 20. And then the Wolves didn't bother to try to score late because it was they weren't, you know, what good is it going to do? One of the two teams, it worked out perfect at the end with a couple of shots that should have been made, one by each team, that missed. So it could have been 18 or 22, but it was 20 on the nut. And then to hear Harlan say, who saw this coming? No one could have predicted this. And it's like, well, no. And here's the best part. Guys like Harlan, he eats, drinks, breathes, and sleeps basketball all winter long. That's all he does is games. Night after night, day after day, week after week, month after month. And you and me, you haven't watched 4 seconds of Timberwolves basketball.
I've watched maybe 3 minutes.
3 minutes, and you just go, I'll take Rockets by 20. And I agree. And I've watched a lot more compared to you. Now, if you watch the games, you just know the Wolves are not as good as the Rockets. The Rockets are 20 points better than the Minnesota Timberwolves most nights. The other night when Paul and a couple of other guys didn't shoot well, and the Wolves, how they were able to stay in the game, I don't know. Every once in a while, you know, the blind squirrel, acorn, haystack, that's what happened on the three-point game. And you know what's going to happen at Target Center at the bullseye on, is that Saturday night they play? That's going to be a Rockets 20-point victory. That's what's going to happen.
And what's sad is if you would have told me James Harden's going to shoot 2 of 18 for 12 points, I'd say Wolves stole one in Houston.
Yeah.
And they lost by 20.
They lost by 20. They're just... And again, I'm hoping, because we all know the big meow has been he's Harry Houdini. It's been a disappearing act. But Butler has been no factor either. In Wiggins, they just let him shoot. Wiggins, was he the leading scorer with 14?
I think Bielitsa was a leading scorer. Wiggins had 13. Bielitsa had 16.
It's a rude. I mean, for me, I got to admit, it's worse than I even thought. I mean, it's funny how your impressions on a team can change in a week. You know, I think we all liked what we saw with the 16. How many more wins than last year? 13 or 14 more wins, whatever it was. You know, good. We should have been an 8 seed, Jimmy Butler. Then we go in there and we just look. It was ugly. More on that. Other topics to get to. Including, they're releasing the NFL schedule tonight. We'll talk about that as well here on the Common Man program.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword BANG to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's BANG to 200-200.
Couple 13-14 pass here on the Common Man program. National Football League draft, is that next week, Tennessee? Thursday,
yes.
Friday, Saturday? Used to be just a Saturday, Sunday. I think back when they first started the NFL draft, it was one day and nobody cared. I'm talking about, you know, many, many decades ago. It's evolved to the point now where prime time, and not just NFL Network, right? Now it's on Fox, I believe. The actual Fox Network. Am I correct? I could have swore that's the promos I've seen.
Yeah, that's...
And it's never, they've never done that before, right?
I mean, it's always been on ESPN before, but yeah.
Yeah, but no, but I'm talking about, yeah, I'm talking network. About not the cable stuff. I'm talking about the network. That's how big it's gotten. It's actually going to be on the network. It's going to be on Fox on Thursday for sure. I don't know if my guess is the Friday and then Saturday stuff won't be, but maybe it will. I don't know. But I know the prime time when it starts at what, 7 o'clock, whatever it is, it will be there. Apparently, they were starting early on the Paul Allen project, and I think they're trying to reinvent the wheel. If you believe what I saw, a couple of emails came in late. It says, a mock draft. I think you guys need to go off your consensus or something. It's super confusing with everyone throwing names out. Sauce can't even keep up. Any mock draft you do that's fast-paced and Sauce is involved is doomed for failure, right? I mean, his IQ is about 3 points higher than a rock. People ask me when I run into him, they say, is Sauce really as stupid as he seems? And I say, I'll give you a couple of examples. I ran into him in the break room a couple of weeks ago,
yeah,
and he was staring at a carton of orange juice because it said concentrate. He went to a mind reader. She charged him half price. If you ever ask Meat Sauce if he wants to give you a penny for his thoughts, you better give him change. Here's the best example. He came up to me a week ago and says, Common, I'm so proud of myself. I just finished this jigsaw puzzle in 6 months. And look at the box. It says 2 to 4 years. So if you're doing a if you're doing a mock draft, the first thing is exclude Meat Sauce from it. Then this other email came in that says, it says, sounds like you have four drafts going on. I would stick with one list and make everyone respond to it. So they were trying to reinvent the wheel on the Paul Allen project today. But I like people that try to break the mold.
Sure.
That try things
something
different.
New.
Try something different. We're going to try something was different 2 years ago, but it really won't be any different this year because we did it the last 2 years. We're going to do our own mock draft, but we do it with the listeners. I can guarantee you, Tenneby, let's say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I'll just throw out a number because I haven't studied the draft yet. Let's say they got the 16th pick in the draft. Joe Bag of Donuts or Vomit Guy can make just as good a guess as Ben Lieber can. Right?
No doubt.
I mean, there's no doubt,
or
right?
Or Paul Allen.
Or Paul Charchian. Or who's the guy with the hair?
Mel Kiper.
Guaranteed.
Todd McShay.
I guarantee you, Rube's could. As a matter of fact, I think the last 2 years, when you took our Rube draft and broke it down with the McShays and the Kipers, et cetera, the Rube draft has been more accurate more often than any of the pros. We have the most accurate National Football League mock draft in the history of mock drafts, and we'll prove it again next week.
So 2 o'clock next Thursday?
So 2 o'clock next Thursday.
Okay.
And how we do it is, do we just randomly take calls and have people? How did we do it before? I don't even remember how we did it.
Calls and emails.
Calls and emails. And you just tell us.
They tell us what pick they want.
What pick they want. If it's taken, too bad for you, you pick another one. And then we will just start, and then we'll just start. You will call in, and we go one after another. Number one pick, it's Joe Bag of Donuts. Who do you like? He likes that. Go to Monday Night Football guy. Go to Vomit guy. Go to Steelers guy. Go to Denver guy. Go to this guy, that guy, until we get through the whole draft. And I bet we're more accurate than any of the other pro guys are. Because they're all just guessing anyways. So that'll be next Thursday. And we hope you're looking forward to that. I saw an email again from one of the basketball community. Wolves will win Saturday. Okay, so in other words, you know what we call that? We call that the delaying the inevitable game. Again, it's like the Wild winning.
It's like the Wild in Game 3,
Wild winning Game 3. So, you're delaying the inevitable. In other words, it's like, because what the Wild did was like, all right, you know, we're down 2-0. I mean, now is when we have to, we throw caution to the wind. Everything and the kitchen sink plus the penalty box. Right now. And they did it. They won. It was great. 6-2, nice game. So the Wolves will probably throw everything. I still don't think they're going to be Houston at Bullseye on Saturday. But if they do, you know what I'd say? Win the next one there and steal one in Houston and get back to me. And I'm not saying that the Wolves should move to Seattle and open up a new expansion franchise like we suggested for the Wild yesterday, but I'm pretty disappointed what I saw. I thought a little bit of inspiration. You know, we picked them to lose by 20, but I was hoping. That's my betting line, but some inspiration from, you almost stole one the night before.
Especially from your main guys were the most disappointing.
That's it. Yeah. I think that's what sapped it from them, I think, maybe, too. I think they realize we missed a golden opportunity to just steal a game in game one. Because imagine had they made it. Let's say Butler makes the right play instead of trying to play hero ball. He kicks it to Teague, and Teague makes it, and they go to OT, and Big Cat goes down low into the low post demanding the ball and just starts, you know, slam dunking and takes over the game, and we win. Think about how that victory would have reverberated about. It would have been the lead story on every. It would have been the lead story on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been the lead story on the CIA, the FBI, the BBC, B.B. King, Max Busby, even The Athletic would have had it as their lead story. And think of,
They would have had the links in there, so it would have been men's basketball.
So, and then, of course, what happens? They lose, and I think they realize it. They got off to a nice start. I don't know if you watched any of it, because you watched 3 minutes of Wolves basketball this year. Were any of those 90 seconds, no, 180 seconds you've watched this year from last night, did you watch any?
No. I mean, I was monitoring Twitter a bit.
Because early, I liked it. We're up. We went on a nice.
Six at one point,
well,
right?
Even more than that. I think we were up 10 or 11 at one point. I think we had a 9-2 lead. Maybe I thought it was 11-2. I don't. We had the lead. Things were going well, and then they just hit us. It was like a white tornado. It went 35-4, something like that.
I posed the question on Twitter.
Okay.
Do people still think Karl Anthony Towns is a top 15 player in this league? Not that he won't be someday.
Right.
But at this current moment, is Karl Anthony Towns still a top 15 player? A lot of people are blaming Tibbs for his regression.
And give me the angle on that as I
just, you know, one just said, get him a better coach. How long is Tibbs' contract?
Mm.
Someone wrote, and is Tibbs a top 15 coach? One person wrote, both Cat and Wiggs are regressing under Tibbs.
Well, regressing just last night, because these same people would have told you he was an all-star.
Yeah.
And he was averaging a double-double. Didn't he almost average a double-double all year long? How was he regressing? And Jimmy Butler and Wiggs, I'm not blaming that on the coach. I'm sorry. I think that's more Wiggs, but what do I know? Here's a phone call from Greg. Greg, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going, Connor?
It's going well. How are you, mean boy?
So I have I've got two tapes. One, I was kind of disappointed with your esoteric approach on how to stop James Harden.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I was scratching my head. I was wondering why you thought that you had just figured that out and nobody had thought of, hey, let's just take the ball out of Harden's hand.
Yeah.
Well, that was one.
Let me explain it to you.
Okay.
The reason is because it just really, the main reason I bring it up is just to blow my own horn. Many, many years ago during the Chad and Barrero show, did you ever listen to the Chad and Barrero show? Are you familiar with it?
Yep.
Yeah, Chad Barrero and Dan Hartman co-hosted the show, and I was their third wheel, and I once said, well, I think I know how you can, I didn't say you could completely stop Jordan, but I said, I know how you can slow Michael Jordan down. And they said, deny him the ball. And they laughed at me. Then about a month later, a couple months later, they had Sam Mitchell on. And they said, how did you shut down Dirk Nowitzki? And he said, I just denied him the ball. So my point is, I don't know if everybody understands. And they didn't laugh at Sam, by the way. So my whole point is that I don't think some people know that. You're right. I'm not saying I'm the first person to ever think about it, but people try too much to worry about, we got to do a zone trap, we got to do switching on, we got to do this. The best thing, you can't score if you don't have the ball. So I get my best defender and stay all over him like a glove and try to take him out of the game. That's what I do.
Well, so here's the real esoteric approach.
Okay.
If you remember watching basketball back in the 80s, stop Michael Jordan. How do you stop Michael Jordan? The Celtics had an esoteric approach on how you stop Jordan. They just let him score. He scored 65 points, and the Bulls lost. The premise around that is Jordan scores, but nobody else scores a point. If you're going and double-teaming Harden, you're leaving three defenders on four guys. If you just clamp down on all the other four guys on the court and just let James Harden take every shot, he's got to score 100 points for you to win the game.
Yeah, no, and somebody else sent that that exact email as well that just says, yeah, let one guy beat you and stop all the others. You can certainly do that. You know, but again...
Well, and that's what the Warriors did to LeBron in the finals a couple years ago. They let him take about 40 shots a game, and he went 10 for 40, and they lost in five.
Yeah. No, you can approach it that way. There's no question. Thanks for calling. You can certainly approach it that way, but you better hope he's off. Yeah, somebody sent you an email. Take Harden out of the game. Well, guess what? I don't know if the Wolves, I don't think the Wolves were responsible for Harden's lack of scoring last night, but he was taken out of the game, and guess what happened? They lost even by more. Harden scored 44. They won by 3. Harden scored what last night? He made 2 shots, and they won by 20. And they won by 20. So, you know, I mean, that's a very good team that they're playing. There's no shame or embarrassment to lose to Houston. But I just, when your key players don't show, when you have a chance to steal game one and then game two, your key players again don't show up, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. More calls when we return to the Grum and the Fan.
He has a keen awareness of the comic absurdity of the universe. It's the Common Man, Dan Cole, on the Fan.
Join fellow Vikings fans on Thursday, April 26th on the field at U.S. Bank Stadium for the Miller Lite Vikings draft party. Follow the first round of the NFL draft with live coverage from the Fan as we welcome the newest member of the Minnesota Vikings. Get tickets now at vikings.com/draft party.
Listen as your day unfolds. Challenge what the future holds. Try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears. Go ahead, release your fears. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard. You gotta be tough. You gotta be stronger.
13-14 pass here on the Common Man program. Wild down 3-1. When do they return to action?
Tomorrow night.
You'll hear that game on this radio station. What time does coverage begin?
The game starts at 6:30. Pre-game with Kevin Faulness at 6:15.
Okay, 6:15. And then the Wolves play their third game of the best of 7 at the Bullseye Saturday evening, I believe, or is it Saturday afternoon? I did not check the time. I just knew they play Saturday. I know the NBA works. They start them early in the afternoon. They run them one right after another. They got it all figured out. This email subject
6:30 Saturday.
6:30. This email subject line says 20-point loss shocked people. He goes, I'm not a Wolves fan nor a Rockets fan, but anyone who didn't see this coming is just a rube. As Twins fans do every offseason, when they presume that all their good players will continue to play well, all their slumping players will also return to good form, while all other teams are sitting on their thumbs, apparently. Wolves fans did the same thing after game one. Wolves lost by 3 and Towns played badly. So all that was needed was a better performance from Big Meow, and game two was there for the taking. Well, evidently they didn't consider that the Rockets stung from 3-point range in game one, Chris Paul in particular, and they still won the game. Fast forward, game two, Paul plays great. They return to hitting threes, and sure enough, a blowout, and Cat didn't play any better. You guys said the exact point after game one. I'll let him blow my horn for me. I don't do that often, but that's exactly what we did say. Another email that came into booth@kfan.com, and Teddy, I think this might have more to do with Big Cat's performance than anything. It says, you guys have to take into account that ever since Big Meow started streaming Fortnite in his time off and being more obsessed with video games and playing basketball, his game has tremendously gotten worse. He even has his own Twitch channel now. Now, and then he says, for Common, it's a site where people stream video games on camera. Sincerely.
You say that for me, too.
Sincerely, Fortnite ruins lives game. You participate in this?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, I thought you said, you can say that about me, too. I have my own Twitch channel. I thought maybe you had your own Twitch channel. I do need to be enlightened. What's a Twitch channel? Is that like Twitter? Is that like InstaChat and Snapgram? What is it? So, And I understand. I'm updated to the point where I realize I still find this astonishing. I really do. And you can say, well, you're just an old man, and I am. That people actually watch other people play video games online.
Huh?
Like, Tenby, let's say you were an accomplished video gamer and you have lots of pithy comments while you're playing. People actually sit down and go, well, I can't wait to watch Tenby play Fortnite. And hear what he has to say while he's playing. And then people actually watch you play a video game.
That idea sounds ridiculous to me, but that being said, I also enjoy watching professional poker players on television. I don't know if I can make fun of this.
Right, and that's ridiculous as well, I guess. Though, for me, I don't watch it on television. I mean, I've stumbled across it before and watched for a few minutes, but I certainly have never made a point to watch it. At least there's some strategy going on, and it's in video games, it's just how fast can you move your thumb? Click, 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 click. You have it's called a joystick or the control panel, whatever it's called, right? And you see if you can. My boys play video games. I watch them.
Do they Twitch?
No, they don't Twitch.
Okay.
Baby Brother Peter had his own YouTube channel, Swag Tag it was called. He doesn't do it anymore, but did you find out what a Twitch channel is? Did you see that anywhere? And I do remember it was a story, and I glanced at it. I shouldn't admit this working at the All Sports Station. Oftentimes I just skim the sports page. But I thought I saw a story about Big Meow where didn't he have a little back and forth on the court with somebody about video games and then they start, or is it a commercial on TV? Doesn't he play with other players and everybody's entitled to their hobby. I get that. I think I'm not a video game guy, so to each his own. But if you're staying up late at night, and we hear about how what a grind the NBA is and how tired players get in the travel, maybe during the regular season and the playoff, during the basketball season, maybe you should just get off your Twitch channel. I don't know. Is there a quarter?
Maybe it's like, is there a stress relieving for them?
Is there a correlation? Has his basketball game, has his performance on the court suffered since he got the Big Meow Twitch channel? If it has, then my suggestion would be cancel the Twitch channel until the off season.
That being
said, which you can start your Twitch channel probably on Tuesday night then.
I'm starting to think that Tibbs should actually start doing Twitch. I think he's too into the basketball and could use a side
maybe
hobby.
That's it. That could be it. Here's the email. It says, Big Meow streams with Ben Simmons daily on Fortnite and PUBG. What's PUBG?
Huh?
So every night, he gets home, and again, how you want to spend your free time's up to you. Some people like to do it Drankson. Other people do it, I like to do the occasional crossword puzzle. I check my emails, I do a crossword puzzle. You know, I get on my handheld computer that doubles as a communication device, and I catch up on the daily news. Not everybody would think that's entertaining. I'm not even saying having your own Twitch channel and streaming with Ben Simmons daily on Fortnite and PUBG isn't fine.
Is Fortnite just a video game?
Yeah, I think Fortnite is a video game, I believe. But how late was he up with Ben Simmons the other night? Did it affect last night's performance? I don't know. If it does, then I think, here's what I'll tell you, Tenby. If Fortnite is affecting Big Meow's performance on the court, I'm calling for the abolishment of the Twitch channel for the Big Meow until the season is over.
Oh, my gosh. Above average.
I don't think that's too much to ask. He's making a lot of money. A lot of us depend upon him. Do you think more people depend? Who do you think? Can you watch Big Meow and Ben Simmons play Fortnite together? Can you watch them? Can the average Rube, is there a way I can watch them play? Would more people want to watch Ben Simmons and Big Meow play Fortnite or Ben Simmons and Big Meow play basketball? Which do you think is bigger?
I'd rather watch them play Fortnite, and I don't even know what Fortnite is.
I bet more people would watch them play Fortnite than watch them play basketball. And
isn't the NBA now promoting some sort of video NBA 2K video game professional league too?
And if Big Meow, well, here's the deal. What is Big Meow better at? Basketball or Fortnite? If he's as bad at Fortnite as he is at basketball right now, he might want to give them both up. But that's just me. Here's a phone call from Ryan. Ryan, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, Colin, I'm with you. I don't really get the whole enjoyment out of it, but I do have an 11-year-old son, so I was going to explain to you a little more about what Twitch is.
Okay.
So what you were just asking about watching Karl Anthony Towns and Ben Simmons,
yeah,
that's exactly what Twitch is for. It's basically live YouTube.
So you follow Big Cat, the Big Meow, and when he comes online, you get a little notification, and you can go online and watch him play as it's happening.
And people do this?
My 11-year-old does it like crazy.
So, and does your 11-year-old, has he told you, is Big Meow good at Fortnite, or?
That I don't know, but I'll tell you another thing about Twitch is the players are making big money off of it.
Really?
There is a user named Ninja that reportedly is making $500,000 a month streaming his video games.
Astonishing. What a country.
Exactly.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
You bet.
So Ninja is he so good at, part of it must be the dialogue that goes along with it, right? Because if you had, like, let's say you had Ninja playing Twitch and couldn't hear anything and had somebody else playing it, would you be able to tell the difference? Or is it their dialogue as they're talking as well? I wonder what it is, the attraction to it.
I'm sure they're really, really good at it, too.
Right, but I'm saying, but would you be able to tell the difference between one guy that's really good at it and another guy? Curtis, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Colin, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, it's
my... So a little bit more on the Twitch stuff. As the gentleman there before said, that Ninja, he's making over $500,000 a month off of subscribers because they link their Twitch accounts to their Amazon Prime accounts. And so they're getting a monthly, every month they're getting so much off of the Amazon Prime cost. And then the other thing is that these Twitch gamers, they also get donations from people all across the world. So people can donate 5 or 10, or I've seen someone donate Ninja $1,000 at one time.
Huh?
Yeah, it's pretty
just
crazy.
Because almost like a tithe and an offering, almost like they're at church.
Right. Yep.
So they're just tithing. They're tithing to the god to the video god that is Ninja.
That's basically what it is. You know,
is he one of those is he a religious nonprofit, do you think? Does he?
I don't think so.
Why? Because it sounds like a religion to me.
Well, people follow him like crazy, and you know, he had a rapper called Drake on a few weeks back, and he had almost 600,000 people watching him at one single time.
So it was a Twitch matchup between Ninja and Drake?
Drake was playing with him.
You can do a tag team, a partner thing.
Yep.
Okay. All right, thanks for the call.
That's where it's all coming from. Yeah,
thanks.
No,
you know about Drake, don't you? He's got a lot of enemies draining all his energies, is what I've heard. Well, this isn't all new to me, but it's kind of new to me.
It's all new to me.
I mean, I knew people watched other people play video games. It's big business. But I didn't know, like, people had their own channels, and they turn on, and you get an alert. I mean, think about it. You're sitting at home, right? And I don't know, you're knitting or crocheting, knit one, purl two, or doing a crossword puzzle like I am. And all of a sudden I get this alert. Beep, beep, beep. Ninja's playing Twitch. Oh my God, I got to watch Ninja play Twitch. Watch somebody play a video game?
So do they just have like a camera set up to their... Can they do like advertising on it?
Sam, Taylor, Jesse have all the answers. We'll get to them other side of the break. We'll do 5-3-4 though too. I don't know. We'll find out more. But the big question is that I want answered by the end of the Grom. Do we think Big Cat's lousy performances, Big Meow's lousy performances in game 1 and 2 have anything to do with streaming his Twitch, with his twitching that he's doing? No, his Fortniting he's doing. And what is Fortnite? Is that one of those shoot 'em up games? It's a video game, but I don't know what it is. I need more information. And somebody needs to get that joystick out of Big Meow's hand, because we need a win against Houston on Saturday night. 5-3-4, other side of the break.
The Vikings already have a leg up on the Packers in the NFC North.
The Common Man.
And honest to God, I don't know how fans listen to the gibberish between 12:30 and 1 and come away with anything. It's the same stuff over and over.
Weekdays at noon on The Fan.
It's your man of heating and air conditioning weather forecast from the sports animal of the Common Man, Dan Cole. Spinning hot stacks of wax on the top of the racks. We're expecting partly cloudy skies today. High should be in the upper 40s. Then tomorrow might be 50. Over the weekend, Mercury should play tag with 60. Right now in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, we have partly cloudy skies, 43 degrees, 1978. Diesel, Sausalito Summer Nights on your home for the hits, the sports animal. You remember Tennessee when Glenn Taylor said he needed to look Andrew Wiggins in the eye and say, are you going to continue to play hard? Are you going to get better if I sign into the $150 million max deal? He needs to sit down with Big Meow and say, what do you want to do? You want to be a pro basketball player or a pro Twitch player? Which one do you want to do? You know, staying up till all hours of the morning till the crack of dawn playing Twitch with Ben Simmons because you think it's cool that people are watching you play video. You want to be a video game guy or not? You can make your choices if you have an option, but you can do both. It doesn't work because it's obviously not working. I got an email from someone that says, I don't do it, but I bet you watched your buddies play pinball back in the day. This is today's kids version. The only reason I watch my buddies play pinball is I was waiting to take my turn at the machine,
yeah.
Right? I wouldn't like go, hey, you know what? I'm going to go down and watch my buddy Joe play pinball. No, I would never just watch somebody play pinball. It's the old Dark Star. I wasn't listening. I was just waiting for my turn to talk. I'm watching the guy play pinball, and as soon as he loses and he's done, move over so I can drop my quarter in the machine so I can play. I would never sit and watch somebody play pinball as just, I'm going to watch play pinball, not participate myself, then turn around and walk away and leave. No, I'd never do that.
It's not like you would show up to a golf course just to watch me go play golf.
That's absolutely right.
You would just follow me around and watch me hit the ball.
I mean, it's hard enough for me to actually sit down in front of a TV and watch grown men play basketball or hockey or baseball or football or golf, unless it's the Masters. But other than that, it's just difficult for me to do that. Watch somebody play pinball or watch them play Fortnite on Twitch. It's crazy. However, it's time now for 5-3-4.
Time now for five questions. Well, actually three, but five sounds like more than four. Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar. Question number one.
We're gonna win,
we're gonna score. It's now time to delve deep into Twins territory.
Jose Berríos threw 7 shutout innings, giving up just 3 hits and striking out 7 as the Twins beat Cleveland 2-1 in 16 innings last night in Puerto Rico. Berríos was pulled after throwing just 84 pitches, so Common, do you have a problem with Molly taking Berríos out after 84 pitches? And is Berríos already an ace?
I've run up the white flag on pitch counts and complete games and guys winning 20 games. Those days are over. My guess is, had it been a while since Berríos had pitched because of all the cold outs or snowed outs or rained outs or sleet outs, whatever they call them, I think that was probably the biggest reason. I don't want to strain that arm. He hasn't thrown in a while. Which, again, we could argue till we're blue in the face and wouldn't take you that long to do it over Target Field the past couple of weeks. Your face gets blue awful quick. But that's just the way it works now, Tennessee. It just does. So, no, I don't have a problem pulling him out. I mean, he got you to 7. It's 0-0. I mean, I was watching part of the Twins game up until the Wolves started, and after they pulled him, I think the first hitter that faced the reliever, was it Hildenberger? I don't know who he faced. He gave up a hit right away, and I'm thinking, well, that's great. You know, you pull up the guy that's an ace, now your bullpen's going to give up the lead. But instead, they win. Sano hits a home run to match Encarnacion. Encarnacion hits one like in the 14th, and then Sano in the bottom of the inning, he ties it up. And then in a draw on an infield, the Twins end up winning on a hit by Lamar, if that's how you say his name. So, but is he an ace? It sure appears that way. Again, it's a very small sample size early in the season, but he's been trending that way ever since his career started. And I've made this point a couple of times, and I'll do it again. I'd like to look at the Twins and say, well, it's about time, because their whole strategy is always, we will never pay for an ace pitcher. We're not going to go out and go grab a Corey Kluber when he becomes a free agent, or a Kershaw or a Keckle.
Sale.
Any of those guys. You're not going to go out and get one of those guys because they don't want to pay the money. I'm not giving some guy $150 million over 5 years. It'll never happen over my dead body, over my empty vault. They've always wanted to, and they've been trying for years. I've thrown out some of the names, Tenneby. Remember Slowey, Blackburn, Baker.
Perkins was one of them at one point. He was a starter.
Radke. Yeah. I mean, Radke ended up being a solid starter, career, but never an ace, right? But that's what they've all been trying. Homegrown, so that...
Gibson.
You see where the Twins are right now. They're paying him a pittance in Major League Baseball dollars.
Mm-hmm.
He's making, what, a little over $500,000 a year, I think?
$600,000,
yeah. And he's going to be not making much more than that for the next 3-4 years. When he's starting to blossom into an ace, and it looks like he is, they'll get him on the cheap. And again, is that good business? Yeah, but if that only happens once every 20 years, no, I don't think it's good. I think you're cheating yourself, you're cheating the fans, you're cheating the player, other players on the team. It's just not the way you do business. Sometimes you have to go out and make a move, but it's working for them now. Now, if he continues like this, they have this right. I have to admit. And again, I there's nobody harder on this Twins club than me. I think that's proven. There's nobody that's been dogging them for all these years. It's hard to argue with what we see right now. Again, is their starting staff the same as the Boston Red Sox? No, but it's a good poor man's Red Sox, and Santana's coming back. They do have everyday players that can hit pretty well. I like what they're doing. I just hope that They continue to, instead of just generally spinning their wheels and trying to, the payroll's going down. One, because Mauer ain't making $23 million next year. It's not going to happen. And then, you know, we don't know what they'll do with Dozier, and we know Hughes is going to come off the books. That's going to be, their payroll's going to drop dramatically, but will they put that money back into payroll, just save it? That's another question that remains to be seen. But no, I think Barrios is, I think he's the real deal. Don't you?
Yes.
I think he is.
By the way, put in the online promo code TWINSWIN when you go to papajohns.com today, and you'll get 50% off a large or extra large pizza.
Question number 2.
Let's win this game.
It's now time to take an in-depth look at the state of the school.
Michael Fabiano of NFL.com tweeted out the NFL's strength of schedule based on 2018 opponents. The Vikings are tied for the 8th most difficult schedule with an opponent's winning percentage of .520. The Green Bay Packers have the most difficult schedule in the National Football League with a .539%. Lions, by the way, are tied for second at .535, and the Bears are tied with the Vikings at 8th at .520. Comments, since the Vikings have the least difficult schedule of all NFC North teams, should they be the favorite?
It would be... I think if you just did a poll, and take away Packer fans and Viking fans, and you did a poll of football fans that are kind of paying attention, I think most of them would go Vikings, don't you? Coming off of last year, looking at that schedule... Cousins, Sheldon Richardson. I know PA and Wobby would pick the Vikings. It's tough to bet against Rodgers, though.
Yeah.
He's that good.
If he's healthy the whole season, I still think the Packers are the favorite.
It's hard for me to argue with you.
But I would also say the Vikings are as close to them
as
with the healthy
ever
Rodgers they've ever been.
Yes. I know you and I don't agree often, but on this one, I will. I agreed with you yesterday that the Wolves would lose by 20, and they did. And I agree with you. Right now, I think the Packers are the favorite to win the division, but by a hair. Because I do think the Vikings, I like what they're bringing back. Things change. We know it. It could end up being a complete disaster. Guys could step back and not play as well. Cousins could be a disaster. The running back guy might injury not be bug. As good as we, and then the injury bug. But I'd say right now, going into the season, I think it's the Packers and the Vikings in the NFC Championship game, and you're on your own after that.
I always love that one.
Question number three. It's time now for the lowdown in Dinky Town.
Lindsay Whalen is closing in on hiring her first assistant, former Gophers teammate and Kurt McAllister head coach Kelly Roizlin. The move could be made official as soon as today, multiple sources telling the Star Tribune. Final steps of the hiring process are taking place, and Whalen reportedly is closing in on a second assistant coach as well. Roizlin played one season with Whalen and with the Gophers on that Final Four 2003-2004 team. She also ended up making three trips to the NCAA tournament over her career. Common, do you like Whalen's hire of former teammate Kelly Roizlin?
Sure, why not? It's all starting to come into play. She's going to get a... it's a long extended honeymoon for Lindsay Whalen. Plus, I don't know enough about the assistant she hired other than what you just told me to see whether that is... another thing is it's dangerous for anybody to criticize the University of Minnesota women's basketball team right now and Lindsay Whalen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's been a winner, right?
Yes.
Hutch, Gophers, Lynx, Olympics. No skeletons in her closet that any of us are aware of. She seems to be as pure as the driven snow, and she's a great role model. So to even say, well, I don't know if that's the right pick, you might get ripped. Athletic probably didn't even mention it, though, would be my guess. They have no mention of that. So, I'm sure it's a fine hire, right? I mean, what do you think?
I know nothing about it, other than remember her slightly from playing with on that team back in the day.
And so I'll say bully.
She's a current, at least, I know Division I is different than Division III, but at least she's a coach in the area and has probably recruited the area, so that would be some help to Whalen.
I'm fine.
Question number three.
Common, which team has a better chance of winning their series, Wild or Wolves?
Whichever team I pick is like a 2% chance. So it's really... Wild. Wolves can't beat Houston. They can't. I don't think they can even win one game. I don't think... I suppose they could steal Saturday. I think they're...
They got to win four of them. Why make technically the Wild have to win three?
But. Right. I know. I would pick the Wild, partly because, it is one less game, but I just can't see the Minnesota Timberwolves winning four games from Houston over the next week.
Four in the next five. Yeah,
I just, no, I can't see it. There's no chance. Unless Big Meow stops twitching. And I don't mean to twitch like this. You know, when you twitch a little bit like that. Like, you'll oftentimes twitch over 3 foot downhill, left to right breaking putt.
Oh, yeah.
You'll twitch a lot. I can understand that. But we can't have, if Big Meow keeps twitching, we might have a chance. But as long as he twitches, I think.
Now, I will say, though, Winnipeg could have their best player injured and still win the series. Let's say James Harden. I'm just trying to say, percent chance.
Okay,
of let's say James Harden has a freak injury. He's out for the rest of the series. Wolves can win that series now, can they not?
Well, Harden was basically injured last night. He only scored 12 points, and they lost by 20. But I get your point. Yeah, I suppose. I mean, how big of a difference is it in Game 5 with Thug out for Winnipeg?
Not much of a difference.
It's not, right?
He's an okay defenseman.
Yeah, but Harden is a different story. So.
Yeah.
And
And that's controversial. It for today's 5-3-4. Edition of 5 Questions.
Brought to you by Green Mill Restaurant and Bar.
Well, actually, 3 questions, but 5 sounds like more than 4.
A lot of twitching conversation coming up. A lot of people attacking me, Tenneby. Basically, put it this way. One of the emails ends with this line. Not too difficult of a concept to grasp, I would think. That and more on the Common Man program. We're twitching here on The Fan.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword WIN to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's WIN to 200-200.
Hey, I'm a fraud.
Yes.
Enter for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Avengers Infinity War in IMAX, April 27th through the 29th. KFAN.com keyword contest.
You should have seen by the look in my eyes, baby. There was something missing. You should have known by
couple 13, 14 passer in the Common Man program. We've been trying to get to the bottom of the failures of the Wolves in the first two games of the playoffs, down 0-2 to top-seeded Houston. They have a chance to steal one, game one, lose by 3 last night, blown out by 20. James Harden stars in game one, non-factor in game two. Chris Paul, non-factor game one, a star in game two. Meanwhile, our two heavy hitters, who would be Butler and Towns, basically no-shows in both games. People trying to figure out what's wrong with Karl Anthony Towns, the big meow. Is it the offense? Is he taking too many jump shots, fadeaways? Is it the zone? Is it the trap? Is it this? No, what we're coming to find out, and we're the first show to discover it, it's a distraction of too much twitching. And I'm not talking about the nervous twitch you get when you have that downhill three-footer on a green that stimps at about 12 and it's a left-to-right break. I'm talking about he plays video games on something on a channel called Twitch so others can watch. Maybe that's what Charles Barkley is alluding to. Tenneby, play the soundbite again. Charles Barkley from last night. This is Chuck Barkley analyzing Big Meow's performance from last night.
What it really shows me, Ernest, is the limitation of his game. I see why he got a long way to go offensively. Those shots he's getting, those aren't big man shots. Those is a guy like a 7-foot guy shooting fadeaways against the little guys. He's got to get in the gym. First of all, I like him a lot as a person. I like him a lot as a player. But he is so limited offensively. He's got to get in the gym, man, and work on his game this summer.
Get in the gym, work on your game, get out of the living room, and get off Twitch. That's basically what Barkley's saying. Right? Get in the gym.
Yeah.
Quit playing Twitch.
Get off your couch.
Quit playing Fortnite with Ben Simmons. Is Simmons starting to sabotage his game? You ever heard the old story about I don't know if it's legend. I remember reading it. One of my very favorite hero athlete of all time, my very first, was Ty Cobb at the Detroit Tigers. I was born in Detroit. I was a Tigers fan. I read a story about Ty Cobb, 367 career batting average. He, for the longest time, held the single-season record for most steals by a ball player. It wasn't broken until like 1960-something by Maury Wills, 104. I think it was 96 for Ty Cobb. Unheard of back then. Cobb was battling Shoeless Joe Jackson. They were pals, battling for the batting title. The story goes that Cobb stopped talking to Shoeless Joe Jackson anytime their paths would cross on a ball field, would ignore him. Legend has it that Shoeless Joe Jackson was so disturbed by it, wondering what he did wrong, he went into a slump. Cobb won the batting title. Day after he won the title was, "Hey, Shoeless Joe, how you doing?" That he got into his head. Could Ben Simmons be pulling a Shoeless Joe Jackson?
Very possible.
The big meow. I get this email. Watching people play video games. Hey, Combomb. Just trying to provide insight into the appeal of watching other people play video games. This might sound like a stretch, but it's fun to some people for the exact same reason it's fun for people to watch sports. To see people who are at the top of their respective game or sport platform is interesting and often fun to watch, especially so if you have an interest in the game they are playing. BBP loves watching basketball because he plays basketball. He likes to watch the best in the world play the game he enjoys playing. Not too difficult of a concept to grasp, I would think. Love you, Common. Well, okay, I get that, but when you're watching basketball, if it's played right, it's like a symphony. and players are playing in concert.
I love that one.
And you're seeing athletic prowess. You're seeing guys sweat and work hard. Well, at least in the last 2 minutes of a game, sweat and work hard and shoot and play, and you're seeing athleticism. Watching a guy sitting on a couch clicking a button over and over and over again as he's trying to shoot another bad guy isn't that interesting to watch. What are you watching him do? You're staring at the screen. He's staring. You're going, oh, look, he dodged another one. There he dodged another one. Boy, he's really good at dodging. I've never gotten past that part of the video game. Oh, look at that. Look at that. I mean, if you like doing that, fine. I just find it mind-boggling that people would want to watch. That would be, for instance, Tennessee, there are people that are speed readers. There's somebody out there that's the fastest speed reader in the world, right?
Sure.
Would you want to watch somebody speed read? Would that be fun to watch?
You know, not at all.
They open up a book and they go, go. And they just turn page after page after page after page. Ooh, look at how fast he is. I've never read a book that fast. It would be. Watching somebody play Fortnite isn't any different than watching somebody read a book. There's no difference in it. I'm calling for the abolishment of the Twitch channel.
Oh, my gosh. Above average at that.
That's controversial. Would you agree that's controversial?
That's very controversial.
Our next call is from Jesse. Jesse, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Connor. I always love your bits.
Thanks.
Hilarious.
Yeah, me too. Thanks.
I just wanted to say, I'm not going to argue whether it's entertaining or not. My kids get a kick out of watching kids play, so I don't know if that's entertaining to them or not.
Right.
It's not to me, but whatever.
Well, children, I can understand. If you're 4, 8, 11 years old, I can understand. When you're a 23-year-old NBA center, I find it odd, but that's okay.
A little different, yeah. But you were talking about Cat's channel, so I hopped on while I was on hold, and I was looking at his videos, and his last video was April 10th, so I don't know if that pokes a hole in your theory about it disturbing him or not. But he looks like he hasn't played since, or he hasn't broadcasted since April 10th.
Okay. Well, that's the last time he's broadcast. So maybe so.
You know, he's still playing. You can see he's still playing, but he's not broadcasting. The other thing I was just going to tell you, just a quick, give you a heads up of it for the kids love it. It's just there's million players. Drop you on this island.
You kind of broke up there. So what's Fortnite now?
Sorry.
What's Fortnite now?
It's 99, including you. They drop you on this island, kind of like Hunger Games, and you go to the island with just a pickaxe.
Okay.
And you have to run around, and it's basically last person living. There's weapons all over the island, so last person living wins the game.
Oh.
So it's kind of like Hunger Games as a video game.
And is the only way you can play it is against somebody else, or can you play it by yourself?
You cannot play it by yourself. It's all against other people.
And then where do you find these people? Are they friends, or can you? My guess, there's people playing Fortnite all over the world, round the clock, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, there is. Ovechkin finally just won playing. Maybe he needs to concentrate more on it too.
Yeah.
But,
Who is the guy that? What's the guy that's got the Twitch channel that gets 600,000 people watching?
I don't know.
What was his name? Ninja. Is Ninja the Michael Jordan of video games, or at least of Fortnite?
Like four or five of them that are kind of like the what was the Duke Dream Team or whatever.
The
Duke Dream
Team.
Yeah, but it's pretty fun. I mean, they enjoy it. And I was going to say one other thing, but I forgot. So
thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Twitch and Fortnite. Sam, are you on Twitch or do you have a Twitch?
I am not on it. But I understand the appeal. It doesn't appeal to me.
Right.
But I was just trying to throw a little bit of insight into Carl's game and what he does. I know that the game that they lost to Memphis, he was on Twitch with Ben Simmons getting hounded, saying he probably shouldn't be playing anymore. But then the next night, when he had the 56-point night the game before, I know, he was on late with Ben Simmons again. And so there's a little bit of back and forth. There's a good side and bad side. I'm not sure if that helps or hurts your theory, but just thought I'd throw that
in. All right, thanks for throwing that in. I appreciate that. Yeah, I don't know. I guess Blind Pig Acorn, second time.
I'm on his Twitch account right now.
Right? On Big Meows?
Yes.
Is he playing right now against Ben Simmons?
No, but you can go back and watch some of the old videos. So,
do you think he's in the gym right now working on his
game? Wearing a Minnesota Wild jersey on one of them.
Yeah. This emailer says Minnesota kid on Twitch is famous. Scissors is from Minnesota and a close friend. Twitch streams Fortnite, sponsored by energy drinks. contracts, teams moved out to Cal to live in Faye's team house. He pulls in $50,000 per month. So he lives in a team house and plays all day, all night. $50,000 a month. I can't argue with making a living at it, I guess. For me, it's watching somebody play. It just seems there are some things that are worth watch. That's like I say, to me, it's no different. It would be like telling me, want to come over tonight and watch me sort my socks. How is it any different? It's Fortnite. We'll see. We'll see what Rosie thinks of a Fortnite.
Well, then people can chat on the videos on the side, so everyone that's logged in to Carl and the Towns can chat.
Give me a couple of highlights from the chats on the other side of the break. Plus, I finally have somebody who is involved in Major League Baseball who agrees with me on one of my pet peeves. I'll explain when we return.
You're listening to Common on the Fan.
Check out our contest page for your chance to win a pair of tickets to join fellow Vikings fans on the field at U.S. Bank Stadium for the Miller Lite Vikings Draft Party April 26th. More info and register, KFAN.com, keyword contest.
A long distance directory assistance, Eddie Cook 212, who say, hey, AMR, this is Mr. Rhythm and Blues. He said hello and put me on hold. To say the least, the cat was cold. He said, don't call us, child, we'll call you.
Man, heating and air conditioning weather forecast going to be really nice for the rest of the year. How'd that work? It's been an Oshkosh Watch Top of the Rocks. It's going to be a great week. Golf course is starting to pop open next week. A lot of controversy today, Tenneby, regarding the big meow, Ben Simmons, twitching, playing basketball, slam dunking. Emails, calls, let's get to them. And why wouldn't we? Mark Rosen joins us next segment. This email says, Combomb, I'm familiar with Twitch, and I just checked Cat's channel. He hasn't been on Twitch in 9 days. Playing video games didn't seem to affect him during the regular season when he had 68 double-doubles. Maybe the lack of streaming Fortnite is the reason for his struggles. I guess you can't discount that. Maybe I was approaching this from the wrong way, Tenneby. Maybe he's now focused on his game. He's not streaming with Ben Simmons on Fortnite. He's
putting too much pressure on himself.
On Twitch, he's putting too much pressure on himself.
That being said, just because he's not streaming it on Twitch doesn't mean he's not playing.
Well, that's it. This one says, also, Ninja probably averages 80,000 people watching him on any given night. In other words, there are at least 80,000 people in this world that need a life. Ninja probably averages 80,000 people watching him on any given night, and I've seen Cat stream before, maybe get a couple 13, 14 people max. He's not making any money streaming on Twitch. Here's one. I liken watching somebody playing video games on Twitch to showing up at the state fair to watch someone do a radio show. You won't get an argument from me. Someone used the same one, or like watching somebody on webcam do a radio show.
Sure.
Have you noticed there's no webcam anymore? But you know what? If 80,000 people want to pay money to watch me do a radio show on webcam, I'm all for Twitch. I'm all for it. I'd like to have a Twitch channel. If you can get me the kind of money that these guys are getting on Twitch, I'd do it.
Is that Ninja that gets 80,000?
Yeah, Ninja.
He might want to just book U.S. Bank Stadium this week and just say, hey, I'm going to show up and play. Sell tickets.
Live performance.
Yeah, sell tickets.
In-person performance.
Yeah.
I like that. This emailer says, this is Twitch Explained, Tenneby. Amy Boy, hopefully this helps you understand Twitch a little better. In essence, Twitch is a viewer-funded entertainment platform with a heavy focus on audience interaction. In that way, it's not much different from NPR, which is National Public Radio. The fact that there are video games being played is inconsequential, as there are also channels that feature arts and crafts, among many other things. The bottom line is Twitch is about community and bonding over shared hobbies. Sort of like scrapbooking. But scrapbooking is not done on video. You get together with other... Is that generally...
Maybe it is done on Twitch.
And I don't want to be... I don't know if sexist would be the right word. I'm not trying to be
stereotypical, but on scrapbooking, is that usually a gal's hobby? The gals get together to scrapbook? Because I've never had one of my buddies, male buddies, go, hey, Common, you want to go up to Grandview this weekend and do some scrapbooking? You know, usually it's you want to go up and hit some knockdown, punch, cut, fade, draws. And I go, well, sure. But I've
I would say, what is there to do up at Grandview?
Well, nothing, as you know, other than unless you like to golf and hunt and fish and horseback ride and snowmobile and go swimming and
I always love that one.
Play tennis, go to the spa.
Great food.
7 different restaurants. Other than that, there isn't much to do. There's another inside joke.
I always love that one.
But have you ever, do you think scrapbooking is the next male bonding experience? Because I don't think it is. I think that's a gal's thing. But again, I don't want to get any drama. I don't know. I'm just asking. Right?
I have no desire to do it.
Have you ever scrapbooked before?
No.
Has your wife scrapbooked?
No.
But you do know what
scrapbooking is. She did try knitting for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. But you do know what scrapbooking is, right?
Yeah.
They get together and they scrapbook. So it's shared hobbies. You have a shared hobby. Some of this is tongue in cheek. When I said 80,000 people need to get a life, I know I probably just insulted a number of Twitch viewers, but it's a joke. Joke, 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 as the former governor once said. But I just do find it, and I guess it is to each his own. To me, though, watching somebody play a video game just isn't that fascinating to me. Somebody said, I don't see how anybody who likes to watch people play golf could actually criticize, somebody watching somebody play video. Yeah, you know what? You got me. Good point. Again, but the one difference is at least with the golf, there's something athletic going on there. I see, even if you don't think it takes a real athlete, but I mean, there's something physical happening. Mm-hmm. You're judging a distance and you're battling your opponents and you're battling the architect and you're swinging the club and the ball is flying. Whereas in video games, you're just click, click, click with your thumb over and over and over and over and over again. I guess some people can click their thumb faster. Is it all a speed thing with those video games, or what is it? Is that what it is? Do you play video games? You don't play video games at all.
I haven't since I was a child.
Yeah. Because I know the last...
I liked it better when I was a child, because just straight up Nintendo, I just had an A button and a B button.
Yeah.
And now there's like 15 buttons on there.
For me, it was Pac-Man. That was the last time I played video games. And that was fast, because then the Pac-Man, when they were trying to eat you, it went faster and faster and faster, and you had to move fast. You had to move your hand, And so there was a challenge. There were some Pac-Man players, I guess, that were better than others. But I never liked watching somebody play Pac-Man.
No, I didn't
never
either.
Hated it. I was just waiting for my turn to play Pac-Man. As
wasn't really listening. I was just waiting to talk.
Yeah. Let's run some more calls in the order in which they were received. Chad, you're on the Fan. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So you guys were talking about Fortnite. Some gentleman explained it earlier. I just, I know that it gets a lot of crap. People, you said, 80,000 people need to get a life. And I kind of agree, but at the same time, gaming in the recent years has become so developed. And it is, for people who play, at least for me, it's pretty entertaining watching, Ninja, another one is Myth, play these games. It's like a whole nother level of, it would be like a basketball, someone doing, playing basketball, watching LeBron James or,
Or how about watching Tennebee negotiate the par 3 12th at Augusta or watching Jordan Spieth? Oh, wait, you probably have about the same result. But I get what you mean.
I love that one.
You would have your professional, your elite player against somebody that's not very good.
Yes. Yeah, and watching that, sometimes you watch it and you pick up different strategies that they use, and there's so many other different things that, it's not, now it's, all on, reflexes.
It's not.
With video games, you know what I'm saying?
It's not all a reflex thing anymore?
I'm saying now it's like your reflex and your instincts in the game.
Oh.
Watching Ninja, how quick he reacts to things. His dialogue is pretty funny, but also, you were saying there was no dialogue, it would still be pretty entertaining, but like I feel like the dialogue does add very much to how popular that streamer is.
Do you think that Fortnite is a lot like Drake, where he has a lot of enemies draining all his energies?
A lot like what?
Like Drake. He has a lot of enemies draining all his energies.
Oh, I'm not too sure.
All right. All right. Thanks, Chad. Yeah, but thanks for the thanks. Okay, I get it. But how do you know what his strategies are? Because you can't read his mind. Again, see, here's what I guess I have to understand Fortnite. So Fortnite is the first weapon I find is a club, and then my little character runs down a hill or something, and then a bear jumps out and I hit him with the club, right? Well, that's no strategy, that's self-preservation. If I'm going to get eaten by a bear, I'm going to hit the bear with the club. Then the bear falls over. Then maybe the next weapon is a sock full of marbles. And then I go back to running down the path, and I'm running, and all of a sudden a giraffe jumps out. And so now he's a lot taller, so I got to throw the marbles up and hit him in the bag, and it hits the giraffe, and he falls down. Then my next weapon is a knife, and then I go running back down the path. I mean, where's the strategy? I don't know.
Whatever game you're describing, I actually kind of want to watch this. I'm starting to catch up.
It's kind of fun, isn't it?
I want to watch this game.
Yeah.
I would love to watch somebody with a sack full of marbles try to knock off a giraffe.
And then if, like, let's say you were, and you're running down the path like this, and you run... And you run into a lion or a tiger or a bear, oh my, I would just try to cut a deal with them. I'd say, look, I'm on your side. Why don't we work together on this?
I always love
that. That's what I'd do if I was playing the video game. Chuck, you're on the fan. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, to talk about Drake songs, I would argue that video games are draining all of Cass energy.
Yeah.
Video games.
I think it is.
Yeah, so stick with me here for a second, but I'm going to compare my 9-year-old son to Cat. So what my wife and I noticed was that when he was playing video games before his basketball games this winter, when he would play in the game, he was just out of it. His brain was just mush. So when you brought up this topic a while ago, I had the aha moment that Cat seems to be acting the same way. Because like the one example I was thinking of was when Eric Gordon missed a shot with like 2 seconds to go in the half. The shot clock buzzer goes off. Cat didn't even grab the rebound. He just let the ball hit the floor. So I was just kind of agree with you.
Maybe the mind is mush.
Yeah, his mind is mush. So I think what we should do is call for an abolishment of video games before any NBA basketball game.
I like it, Chuck. Thanks. It's a great abolishment. It's a great abolishment to add to the list. Here's an email. A lot of us don't agree with your super liberal agenda and belief system, but we don't call for the abolishment of your way of thinking. Hold on a second. Not sure if he's on my side or he's against me. I'm calling for the abolishment of people that disagree with me. That's what I'm calling for the abolishment.
Oh, my gosh. Above average at that.
Is that a liberal way of thinking? Abolishing video games? I wouldn't think that'd be liberal or conservative, would it? You could say you got to be a lunatic or a crackpot to want to do it.
Well, recently, wasn't it more of a conservative thing because with the whole gun control thing, they wanted to start going after the video game industry?
That would have been liberal, though, wasn't it?
No, it was Trump that was championing that.
Oh, yeah. But liberals are the ones who want to take their guns.
Yes, but the conservatives were saying,
yeah,
we got to keep our guns, but we need to start figuring out the video game stuff because that's causing the mental illness. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well.
Or should I say correct?
If Ninja's mentally ill, then I want to be crazy too because he's making $50,000 a month.
He sounds pretty smart.
Yeah. So that sounds like, it's astonishing. And I remember when this topic first came up a year and a half ago, when people first alerted me that they actually have. So one guy said it. Ninja or somebody, they moved to a phase house or something. They actually, it's a profession now. There are hundreds of millions of dollars. There are people that are millionaires playing video games. They have leagues, what's that? Twitch, everything.
So Ninja.
It's astonishing.
So Ninja's making $50,000 a month. And all he's doing is sitting in his basement. And then, you know, the full screen is the video game he's playing. Then in the small little screen in the corner is a picture of him. Does he just look like a NASCAR driver with just advertisement patches
that's
all
what
over
he,
him?
Well, if he doesn't, he should do that as well. That.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I want to be an agent for Twitch players. Maybe that's it.
Brilliant.
Maybe that's the ticket. The video game thing was, by the way, you know, maybe part of it's I will admit my eye hand. They say you have to have really good eye hand coordination playing golf, and I get it around a golf course occasionally. So my eye hand coordination might not be bad. Maybe for me it's the tediousness. I've never wanted, like, even what's the one? There's a golf video game where you roll. You stand in front of it, it's got a big screen, it's got a little ball, and then, you know, that you, it, like a, how do I explain it? It's called Golden Tee. Tim, have you ever played Golden Tee? See, even
it's a
that.
Great video game.
But see, even that doesn't do any. See, video games are tedious to me. They're too much, I got to learn to do this and move my hands, and I just have to, I don't want to do it. Probably why I never learned to play the piano. Should have learned to play the guitar. Should have learned to play them drums. That ain't working.
You can do games like that on your phone, too.
Right. But I don't find any. You know what I'm saying? They're too tedious. I don't. Maybe part of it, the issue with me then is that because I think you have to. It's what do they call it? Attention deficit syndrome or whatever. Maybe I just don't have the attention span to. I'm going to get really good at grabbing a weapon and being the last person alive on the island. Maybe I don't want to be the last person alive on the island. Maybe that's my problem. Jonathan, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Colin, what's up, man?
Hanging out, thanks.
So basically, you got two different types of contributors. You have, like, the entertainers, you know, people that aren't that great, but people watch them just because they're funny or they're entertaining, you know. They keep you watching the channel. And you have your people that are, you know, your elites, and that's when you watch it for strategy, and, you know, they're really good, and that's how they make the money and all that stuff. Like, but, yeah, it's like you said, it's like if someone try to watch baseball and they don't really like watching baseball, but yeah, they love playing it. It's, you know.
Yeah. Right. Okay. I get it. All right. Thanks, my boy. Appreciate it.
Oh, and I'm gonna explain too. Twitch. Like you were saying, reflexes. Twitch kind of get that name. It's more of a gaming platform. I know someone said it's more scrapbooking. People do that on the side, but Twitch they used to call. Players twitchy, like reflex it, and that's how they got the channel name. And yeah.
All right, thanks. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Twitching, much like twitching is much like I wish this computer could get fixed. It's so slow. We're never going to get a new. Is that in our tactical? I'll try to print something. I have four steps now I have to take before I print an email. And now when I try to send an email to one person, somehow it is a major delay. So I'm sending an email response to somebody that's the wrong. I'm matching up the wrong response to the wrong email. So I hope I'm not making people mad at me. You see what I'm saying? Where they're going, I never said any such thing. Why are you doing this? So it's like, well, no, I didn't mean to send it to you. I really, truly didn't. We'll see what Mark Rosen thinks about all this nonsense when we return to the Common Man program on the Fan.
Mark Rosen joins the Common Man.
Oh, boy.
Next on the Fan.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
It was a long time ago, and they had to fess up.
All right.
They tried to bamboozle me, but you know what? I'm like Columbo. I walked it. There was a smoking gun, and I walked it down
right,
the trail.
Right.
I kept going to people going, there's something bothering me. There's something bothering me about this.
Well, that's a reference that, unfortunately, many of our audience members have no idea what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Trench coat Columbo. A trench coat for a good reason.
Part of the Mystery Science Theater. What was it? It was the Mystery, NBC Saturday Mystery Night, whatever it's called. And they would rotate. It would be Columbo one week. Next week it would be McMillan and Son, and the next week it would be McLeod.
Was that the Rock Hudson?
Yeah, right.
And then, yeah,
that was McMillan and wife.
Right.
So they were 1 hour dramas with some comedy added, but 1 hour dramas.
Right.
One was Columbo, the forgetful detective in the rumpled raincoat.
Correct.
Then McMillan and wife was Rock Hudson and what was her name? Was it Suzanne Plachette? No. Whoever it was.
Something St. James. St. James?
Yeah, St. James, I think. Whatever her name was.
It wasn't Jill St. John. It was something St. James.
They were a husband and wife team that were detectives.
Right.
And then the following week would be McLeod, which was Dennis Weaver. He was a cowboy in New York.
Right.
And so every week would be that. And but Columbo was my favorite of all.
Oh, I love Columbo.
All three were good.
Beautiful.
But Columbo
good luck with that.
Was very good. We've had a long-ranging discussion, very controversial. We're starting to think maybe Big Meow's issues are he's on Twitch too
long. I think you're on to something.
I was twitching watching the game last night. What happened?
It started out positive. Obviously, the Wolves had a 5-point lead at the end of the quarter. Houston was missing a lot of shots. Harden, who never recovered from a bad first quarter, looked like the Wolves had a much different way of defending him. They were clogging the lane. They weren't letting him just kind of go willy-nilly down the lane like he's, you know, going through a Sunday afternoon walk in the park. And he got frustrated early. And I thought, well, this is going to be encouraging. But the Wolves were already missing many, many opportunities. They were turning the ball over. That 23-18 lead probably should have been 29-18. Now, it went in the long run, given the way they played the rest of the game,
it
would have mattered. And then the second quarter starts. And I think I literally walked away from my desk at work. You know, I was keeping an eye on the Twins game, which started at 6:00, and of course we'll get to that later, and got over after the Timberwolves game was done.
Astonishing!
But I
don't know if you want to call it a great game. Good pitching, right?
It's right up your alley. We'll get into that a little bit later. But anyway, I walked away. I had to get a cup of coffee, whatever. I swear to God, I walked back in Houston. I think they had a 2-point, 3-point lead when I walked away. Came back, they were up by 9 or 10 or 11, whatever. It's like literally 30 seconds, and that was the end of it. The game was over at halftime. I can't remember the last time Tibbs has thrown in the towel that quickly. And there was nothing they could do. It's just an embarrassing performance. And we kind of talked about it yesterday, but in a different vein. I think, and Larry Mondello guy, of course, was tweeting at me at midnight last night about, didn't you say that if they stop Harden, they can win the game? I go, I don't remember what I said an hour ago, but whatever I said, I thought we both said that Karl Anthony Towns will probably end up with 28 points and lose by 20. Well, they lost by 20, but as we all know, Karl Anthony Towns and company were close to that. And as it turned out, Harden was a complete non-factor. I don't recall ever seeing a poor shooting night for James Harden. How do you go 2-for-18 with your soon-to-be MVP of the National Basketball Association and still lose by 20?
He was doing his best impression of Chris Paul.
He was.
And then Chris Paul did his best James Harden, right?
Well, yeah.
Seriously, right?
Correct.
Harden, brilliant game one, 44 points.
Right.
Awful game two. Chris Paul, awful game one, brilliant game two. They just switched spots is all they did.
And I'll make my bold prediction right now, and I don't know when and if Steph Curry's coming back. I say Golden State beats Houston. I say Golden State will beat Houston. Yeah, I know that I look at this Houston team, and I really, you know, I've watched a few of their games, but I look at their lineup, and, you know, they got some nice pieces. Capella's a nice player. Obviously, Green comes off the bench, gives them a lift. I just don't see them.
I agree with you completely.
To me, the question is,
the prediction we should be doing is, how many games will it take Golden State to eliminate?
Well, and again,
I don't think it goes seven.
Well,
I think Golden State can win in five.
And they may end up holding out. We'll see what happens with Curry. He's getting closer, but if they can get through the next series without him and hold him for the Western Conference Championship, which in all likelihood will be against Houston, that's the series everybody wants to see. I still think Golden State's got too many weapons, too much defense, too much Iguodala, too much Draymond Green, too much
Durantula.
They got just too much.
I know.
And I, you know,
I can't agree. I can't disagree with you.
I didn't want to necessarily feel that way. And maybe Houston will prove me wrong, prove a lot of people wrong. But anyway, getting back more importantly for the Wolves, and you think, well, how do they lose that first game by 3 points? Harden scores 44, It just it doesn't add up when you look at it on face value. Like, how do you lose that game by only three when Harden's lighting it up, and then Harden has the worst shooting night of his life, and you lose by 20? It's just, well, you look at the Wolves box score and you find out your answer. I mean, Butler either is a combination of his wrist is killing him and his knee's not quite right.
I hope that's it, because if it's not, geez, we're in real big trouble.
Gibson's got
year.
A neck issue. Towns is lost. Wiggins, you know, has got spurts where he's okay. And when Bielitsa is your leading scorer, that's not a good sign for a throwaway game. So, you know, they got one chance here on Saturday really to at least make some noise and feel like, at least for a minute or two, you have an opportunity. I must say they owe it to the fans, but the fans have been waiting 14 years. Many of them weren't around, were in grade school last time the Wolves were in the playoffs. But, I mean, it all kind of points towards Saturday night and how this team responds. You know, and I'm sure they will. I mean, I'm not saying they're going to win. I just feel that you're going to see, obviously, a much better performance. But I just don't know what Karl-Anthony Towns is going to do. He just looks discombobulated out there. It's not just a matter of missing shots. He's still not taking any shots. What did he take? You know, and granted, he only played 23 minutes last night as opposed to 40 the night before. But, wow. I mean, wow. I just say, who is this guy? I watch this guy play all year.
What do you make of the criticisms of Charles Barkley? Again, last night, Barkley said he needs to work on his game.
Well, sure he does. I would say he's got to work on his game no matter what.
He's an all-star. He's a top 15 player. That's what you and everybody and told me.
He was an all-star. He's
top
23, and I think he's dedicated to his craft. I don't think of a guy that's going to be taking shortcuts. I think Houston's thrown some things at him that he wasn't ready for, and they have to figure out a way of countering it. And obviously, he needs some help from his teammates. But it's a good lesson. It's a good, as we say, a good life lesson for the young man right now to get his first taste of the NBA playoffs. Not only just playing in the playoffs, but playing against, you know, one of the, if not the best team in the league, right away. And you're finding out that it's a whole lot different than playing, you know, Atlanta or Chicago in the middle of the regular season. And another Wednesday night game when you're playing in a playoff game in Houston.
I've seen that a lot. Tana B sent me a Twitter feed from TNT or whatever with Barkley and his comments. And then it appears many Timberwolves fans, I'm assuming, rallying to Big Cat's defense. Well, and one of the defenses is, well, he's just not used to playoff basketball. That doesn't explain that much of a drop-off.
No,
I mean, you don't go from being a 20-20. What is the average a game? 21 points, 22, 26, whatever it is. You don't go to that to score an 8 and 11. You just don't.
That's it. And I don't know what it is.
I can't put a finger on it.
He's getting an earful. He's getting an earful. You know, one thing from the first game, but last night, I mean, I think, you know, these guys are acutely aware of what the outside perception is. He's got to internalize all that. And he's got, you know, today and tomorrow the practice and try to figure some things out, but come out with you know, much more fire in his belly and figure out whatever he can do. But he's pressing, even at times when he's trying to get to the lane early on in the game last night. And that, you know, he's finding two or three guys up against him, and he's frustrated. He just looks frustrated. His body language is frustrated. So that's sort of where it begins and ends. But, you know, Jimmy Buckets, meanwhile, I don't know what. I guess he suffered some sort of wrist injury in the first game. I wasn't aware. I didn't see any of that game.
Much like we weren't aware of the Parisi broken sternum injury either.
Correct. So you got an email.
To my source.
So your source got the information.
Yeah.
Correct.
To my source, and I broke the news.
Correct. Correct.
And got no credit at all.
Zero.
So it's I hold off very little hope. I mean, forget the series. I hold very little hope for even grabbing a game. But
I don't want to get any more influenced by. I mean, I think people were more surprised by game one than last night. I think that a lot of people thought, well, 20-point loss is probably going to be maybe not 20, but they've been 10.5, 11-point underdogs both games. Now the first game they got close, and you think, oh wow, maybe they can hang with this team. You know, Harden's going to get his points, but they'll find a way maybe being competitive. Well, you better hope last night was the aberration. I got two home games and. Yeah, I mean, you're going to assume the Wolves are going to play at a much higher level, and the home crowd will mean a lot to them here. And Houston's got to believe, I'm not saying comparing with everything in the NHL, but more times than not, when a team takes a 2-0 lead, and they go in the other team's rink or arena, there's a natural letdown a little bit to you know, they feel like, well, you know, we got this series under control. We'll see how this thing plays out. So, I mean, I think the Wolves will have every opportunity to grab some momentum in the game on Saturday, but, you know, if Harden lights it up again, who knows?
Paul lights it up again.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He put on a clinic last night.
That guy, the caller last week, was yelling at me because I wasn't giving the Wolves much of a chance. I went, well, I mean, if they could win one game, that's sort of where they are with this series. They shouldn't have been the eighth seed. They blew a lot of games late in the year. They could have been a fourth or fifth seed and played someone else and had a better chance to be competitive. They didn't. That's on them.
Yeah.
You know, that's just the way it worked out. So you take it, you get the best experience you can out of it, and you move forward. I just don't, you know, their bench just, I mean, I'm sorry. Gorgui Dieng is just, again, last night, 1 of 8. I don't know what to expect from these guys off the bench. You know, Tyus gives you some minutes, but he's not going to score any points.
Sorry.
And Derrick Rose, you know, did okay, 4 of 9. But there's not much. And if Crawford's not hitting his shots, I
mean, Rose shouldn't even be out on the floor.
Who's that?
Rose. He's trying to resurrect his career.
He's only 28, but he's so bad.
He's trying to resurrect his career with the Wolves, and he thinks he's going back to his MVP year, and
giving him some energy. I mean, I'll give you that much more than, I mean, again, Gorgui Dieng has just had a year that it's been forgettable. And obviously Crawford is a guy that he's a volume shooter, and he took as many shots as Karl Anthony Towns did last night. He played more minutes because they used the bench when they're getting blown out. But, you know, he can't be going 3 for 9 or 3 for 10 either.
C-Mailer says, Common Man's a genius.
Of course he is.
Says, giving someone $1,000 for their video game feed is asinine. Be like a newspaper giving a talk show host an award just to get the host to talk about their newspaper. Sad, really.
Well, I didn't hear the reference for the $1,000.
It's part of our video game stuff.
Oh, yeah. I heard you talking about that, but I didn't hear the specifics about it. Uh-oh.
They're banning Twitch in the Wolves locker room?
No. You know, NFL schedule comes out tonight, which means we've got leaks already
everywhere.
Coming out today.
Okay.
Remember at one point there was a report from a Philadelphia radio station that the Vikings would play at Philadelphia?
To open the season on Thursday night? Yep.
Well, Jeff McLean, who's the Eagles beat reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer, says the defending champion Eagles will kick off the 2018 NFL season by hosting the Falcons on Thursday, September 6th at Lincoln Financial Field.
I don't know where he's getting his information. You know what? That's another guy that's trying to prop up sagging.
A guy in Philly is the one who broke the story.
He's trying to prop up sagging blog ratings or clicks or whatever they call it. I
love the schedule leaks. We can't wait till 7 o'clock tonight to just get the information.
Tenneby, did you put your schedule together?
I did.
Who did you have the Vikings open? Tenneby and I took it a step further, you know.
Well, I might have to change it after that latest report.
Tenneby and I took it a step further. Rather than just taking the schedule Friday, because Friday we'll go through the schedule game by game and make predictions.
I heard your...
I actually predicted when we're playing each team. It's never been done, a major...
I was impressed. A lot of what you said.
Oh, now Tenneby's changing. You're going to buy into some. Some guy's trying to prop up his sagging Twitter.
No, I'm changing something else.
Oh.
From a rumor I heard earlier today, but I can't really.
Uh-oh.
Let me guess.
But it's not confirmed or anything.
Let me guess. He says yada on a lot, and he goes by Vox in the Box. Is that who you heard from?
No.
Oh.
I mean, how of all the things the NFL does.
I've got him opening at Philadelphia. Are you changing that?
I still have him at Philadelphia.
Who do you have week two?
At Chicago. We're going to start season two on the road.
I think because they're making him play such a tough game on the road against the defending champs, a place where we got destroyed. Well, that game wasn't that far off. I mean, that NFC Championship game, Vikings weren't that far away from getting back into that game.
I heard you break it down.
All they need is a... touchdown, right. Two-point conversion, onside kick. Touchdown, two-point conversion, onside kick. Touchdown, two-point conversion, onside kick. Touchdown, two-point conversion. Stop me when I've got to when I've overtaken Philadelphia. I think they're going to have them they're going to have a Miami at home. Who do you got week two? Week three?
Week three, home versus Buffalo.
I have them home against Chicago.
Okay.
Week four
at LA
at Seattle.
Then I've got two home games in week 5 and 6 versus Miami and then versus Detroit.
I've got at Buffalo and then the bye week, week 6.
Okay. Week 7, I've got at Seattle.
I have home to Detroit.
8, I got a bye.
I've got them at home to Green Bay, which is the same thing as a bye.
We're heading out west in week 9. We're at home. We're home to San Francisco week 9.
I have them home to San Francisco week 9.
Wow. Really?
Wow. Yeah.
You got some information over there.
So
huh?
we've agreed on one matchup so far.
Week 10 at Green Bay.
I have at Rams.
Week 11 hosting Arizona.
I have them at New York Giants.
Week 12, we are going to be at New England on Thanksgiving, the late night game on Thanksgiving.
Oh, is week 12 Thanksgiving?
I'm just making that. I don't know.
Week 14 was Thanksgiving this year. Because, see, I have week 12 at home to New Orleans. Week 13 at home to Arizona. Then Thanksgiving Day at Detroit for the third season.
Yeah, for the third year in a row. Chicago at home, week 13. At New York Jets against Teddy Bridgewater, week 14. Week 15, home to New Orleans.
I have them home to New England. I mean, at New England, I'm sorry.
Week 16, home to Green Bay.
I have them at Chicago.
Week 17 at Detroit.
I have week 17 at Green Bay, or home to Green Bay. We agree on one.
And I am reporting, my sources tell me the Vikings will play an NFC North team in week 17. I'm reporting that right now.
That's
okay.
The NFL wants.
That's going out on a limb.
Yeah, that's a
I like
huge
that.
Limb.
Does that. You heard it here first.
All right.
We got calls to get to. We got the Wild, the Twins, and other topics with Rosen next.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword money to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's money to 200-200.
Programming on the Fan today is brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant.
Couple 13, 14 pass, common man program. Your Wild club, news really isn't much better there either, right?
Nah.
Down 3-1.
Yeah, they're...
back in Winnipeg, is that right?
Yeah, tomorrow night. Basically, there's
it's over tomorrow night.
Same situation. Well, you would think so. Again, you know, Morrissey's suspended. How much that's going to affect him? They can obviously bring someone else up from the minors and fill his spot. But unless the Wild can score the first goal, I mean, I know that sounds like that's a big deal, but it kind of has been. They haven't scored the first goal yet in the series. They happen to win the one, obviously, here back at home. But it doesn't feel like they're coming back here on Sunday night. You know, I watched the end of the, you know, Nashville-Colorado game last night, and that was a really entertaining game. And Colorado now in the same predicament as the Wilder, and they got to go back to Nashville. But at least... unlike the Wild in the third period, they were pressing. They scored a goal to cut the margin to 3-2, and they were pressing. They had one go off the pipe, and their offensive, you know, surge was much, much better than what I saw from the Wild in the third period when they were down just 1-0.
Yeah,
and that's kind of the baffling thing beyond the obvious egregious miss of the penalty on Staal is the fact that the Wild were not doing anything in the third period to give you think that. I mean, it was so quiet in there. Other than they showed Kirk Cousins on the scoreboard, it just the Wild did really nothing offensively. And that's what, you know, watching the Avs last night, again, maybe that just tells you how good Winnipeg is. I don't know. But the Wild certainly could do nothing to counter what they were doing on the ice the other night.
And then we talked a bit about it yesterday. And, you know, it's actually a topic that's comes up sporadically as you obviously focus on the here and now, but you look toward the future. And teams a little bit handcuffed. A lot of their draft picks they've traded away to try to bolster the current team each year. You know, they're saddled by a couple of big salaries by two guys that will be here for another 8 years each, 7 years, you know, in Suter and Parisi. And so it's that for a lot of people, there's the questions of where does the team go from here? When you've had 6 years in the playoffs in a row, that's great. Only three other teams, I think, have done that. But you also have four first-round exits, potentially, if this one is a first-round exit, and two second rounds. Yep. A lot of questions of where you go next.
Yeah, is this team built for any sort of long playoff run? And, you know, you got, you know, young kids like, you know, Jordan Greenway. It looks like he's going to fit in nicely. Unfortunately, Cunningham got hurt, and hopefully he'll be ready to go by the time the regular season begins. But you know, they got some decent young talent, but there's no one with that kind of superstar label that you think about that kind of a game breaker. Again, watching Nathan MacKinnon last night.
Well, there is. He's in Russia.
He's in Russia, but he's what, 2 years away?
Yeah, he signed for another two years.
Oh, great. Okay.
And then there might be a lockout that third year. So
perfect.
Be a...
Well, that's something to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Hang your hat on.
And then if there's a lockout, he might sign another KHL deal
sure.
since we got a lockout.
Great. Thanks, sir.
Yeah.
Brightening everyone's day there for the Wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it.
You know, on these schedule leaks,
it's crazy.
How much do you put in? Why have been five games been leaked, but the others haven't?
Well, for instance.
Like, I've seen somebody's released some of the Viking games, and then it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Viking games have been leaked. Why would have 6 they? Be leaked, and
I
how do they
know.
Get leaked?
Well,
according to this,
it's the NFL way.
It's September week 2 at Lambeau.
Right, that's what the Packers beat reporter is saying.
Then
right
another one
too.
Says week 4 for us, it's Rams on a Thursday night. Then it says Jets October 21st.
I don't know.
The Saints game's going to be a Sunday night game on October 28th at 7:25. And then both Bears games apparently have been leaked. One's November 18th, the other is the last game of the season.
Okay.
So,
again, it's
well, we'll see.
Maybe going the dates.
Maybe they know more.
I guess the only thing is about the Eagles game, if indeed that's the case, because normally, it's an NFC Championship matchup. Again, Atlanta played in Philadelphia as well, as we saw the week before, and almost should have won that football game against Philly that night.
Here's a phone call from Correcting Stupidity Guy. Correcting, what's going on?
How you doing, me boy?
We're well. What brings you to the Grum today?
I wanted to ask Rosie if he saw the Yahoo Sports report the other day on Kawhi Leonard and the proposed possible trade that could happen between the Wolves and the Spurs.
No, I did not.
If they, well, the way it was written, and I think it was Wojo that wrote it, the report was it would be a sign and trade where Kawhi would sign a max deal and then the Wolves would send Wiggins, Tyus Jones, and the first round pick that they got from Utah in the Rubio deal. And I saw the speculation yesterday, and I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, because this series is over. I mean, it was over before it started.
Well,
it's
really
the matchup between these two teams is horrendous. But I just wanted to get your thoughts
on
that.
Well, Kawhi Leonard is an elite player, and you really kind of don't know. I mean, hearing Greg Popovich, and by the way, obviously condolences to Greg Popovich. His wife passed away. He's been ill for quite a long time, and a lot of players are pretty emotional about it. They're really close to Pop, and have a great deal of respect for him. He's obviously not coaching tonight for San Antonio against Golden State. But when Popovich the other day was asked about Kawhi Leonard, he says, you're going to have to ask his group about that. So obviously tensions are pretty high. I mean, the guy's been out pretty much all year long with a quad injury, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. One of the top five players in the league, as far as I'm concerned, when he's on. I don't know how you wouldn't do that deal if you're the Timberwolves to get a
who wants Andrew Wiggins?
Why would San Antonio do that?
Why would they want Andrew
Tyus
Wiggins?
Tyus is a throw-in
player.
The
Andrew Wiggins deal a done deal for starting next year at $150 million?
He signed a max contract, yeah.
Who wants to inherit that after what they've seen this year? Unless you think you can get more out of him. There are those coaches or those organizations that look at a player and say, that's untapped potential.
Well,
we know we can do, and maybe there is untapped potential there, but there's nothing that leads me to believe. He's one of those guys that plays in spurts. He's a tease. He looks great for a game or two, a quarter or two, a possession or two, and then he looks awful or disinterested or whatever.
The only danger with this sort of the here and now of any pro athlete is that the danger of a guy like Andrew Wiggins is, what is he, 23? I mean, is that...
he could figure out the next 2 or 3
years. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Star.
I mean, he's got the talent, and that's the thing that scares about when you trade anyone away. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to go back to the David Ortiz situation, but the
correct.
Twins, he was older at that time, I believe, but Ortiz had a wrist injury, and I remember watching him play in that series against Anaheim.
And then he turned into Big Pappy.
Exactly. Think about what the Twins had in a future Hall of Famer. Yeah. So, I mean, you don't know. You project what Andrew Wiggins will be like 3-4 years from now, and you think, well, what if he turns into that kind of monster-type player and understands that he's got paid, but now he wants to be that guy.
More calls and Rosen's thoughts on the Hometown 9 on the side of the break on The Fan.
After 40-plus years, he still brings the heat. It's Mark Rosen with the Common Man on The Fan.
Programming on The Fan today is brought to you by Prism Research. Head out to the Sleep Number store in Maple Grove and hang with Meat Sauce and Chris Hockey from noon to 2 on Friday. More info on KFAN.com. Keyword events.
I got to sort my socks. I'll be busy.
Well, that's not even so much that. It's like I don't have to, like, test out a mattress with the two of them, do I?
Yeah, I think you have to lay
yoga pants, bras.
You have to spoon with meat sauce to see if it works for you.
Yeah, I think I'll pass on that, but I wouldn't mind going seeing the guys.
Sure, there. Of course not.
Apparently, Rosen plays volleyball with those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. You're right. Thanks. Nice reference.
Yeah. I didn't get it because I'm
City Pages.
Funny you should say that. I wanted to get to that.
What's that?
Best TV sportscaster. I think people are well aware. Mark Rosen, according to City Pages, says, after 40-plus years at CCO, Mark Rosen still brings the heat. Mm. Amid the insanity of NFL free agency coverage, Rosen managed to scoop news of Kirk Cousins joining the Vikes, besting national exclusive powerhouses like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. 66-year-old sports legend from St. Louis Park continues to pound his beat with joy, passion, warmth, and humor.
Say that carefully.
He does it on air at CCO, where he serves as sports director, and over the airways at KFN, where he serves as exasperated straight man of the Power Trip Morning Show's constant volley of penis jokes.
Right.
Rosie was inducted in the Minnesota Broadcasting Hall of Fame in 2013. Now, that was the final bio or paragraph that made City Pages.
Do you have a different one?
I have a source at City Pages.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well,
this
thank
was
you,
the
City
original.
Pages,
they carved it down a little bit.
Oh, okay.
This was the original.
I'm anxious to hear this.
This was the original version.
Okay, all right.
After 40-plus years at WCCO, Mark Rosen still brings the heat. Well, he still enjoys the heat, like during his four-week spring training assignments.
I didn't even go this year.
Or numerous trips to the lake to cover all the news in the Northwoods. Amid the insanity of NFL free agency coverage, Rosie managed to scoop news of Kirk Cousins joining the Vikings from Star Trib's Mark Craig, beating national exclusive powerhouses like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport of the theft. Which is good for Mark because he hadn't broke a story since the framework of a deal story he broke about Joe Mauer signing in 2010.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday to Joe today. He's 35 today.
A contract Rosie called a great hometown discount deal. The 66-year-old local sports legend from St. Louis Park continues to pound his beat with joy, passion, warmth, humor, and fraudulence. Wow, are the morning show guys going to have fun with that phrase, pound his beat.
Oh, yeah, they already have.
He does it on air at CCO, where it reads from a teleprompter for two different two-minute segments each weeknight, and over the airwaves at KFN, where he serves as exasperated straight man to the Power Trip morning show's constant volley of jokes about some guy named Richard. They have a really good vibe with. Rosie was inducted to the Minnesota Broadcasting Hall of Fame in 2013, and more importantly, the Preposterous Statement Tournament Hall of Fame in 2012. So this was the original, and they decided they needed to edit it a little bit.
I appreciate that. Thanks, City Pages, for that. I appreciate the edited version.
There it is.
Thanks again.
There it is.
I can't imagine what yours said.
I noticed as we talked about this off during the break, I'm watching, it's either Twins or Wolves, and I see a crawl on the bottom of the screen. And it's reporting the death. It's like an obituary, the death of a WWE wrestler.
Right, Bruno was it Sammartino.
I'm not
legendary. Sure. That's what it was. He was legendary.
God bless him.
Vern Gagne era.
May he rest in peace.
East Coast guy.
But then they started listing like he was the world champion for like 8 years. As far as I, do the people that wrote that realize that all that's I mean, that's made up.
What?
He didn't really win titles.
He did.
I mean, he won them, but they were staged. Just he didn't really accomplish.
You're saying that pro wrestling was fixed.
But I just found myself like this.
I know.
They're great actors. They're tremendous physical actors, because it's a passion play, right? They're doing stories. It's a soap opera goes on week after week, and it's very well done. It's genius, but to actually like report his championships and his record, it seems.
Well, I mean,
kind of
I remember.
Silly.
Interviewing the late, great Vern Gagne any number of times. He was probably like a 13, 14-time AWA champion. And anytime you asked him about that, he'd have a grinning. And those guys had it down pat. And a lot of it was like, do you want to step in the ring with me? Went, well, of course not. But Vern Gagne was an Olympic wrestler. But when you watch, if you saw that Andre the Giant documentary on HBO, it was fascinating because Hulk Hogan really opens up a lot. And he had his big match with Andre late in his career, and Andre's health was starting to fail, and he knew it. But he also did not know how the match was going to be choreographed. So this was before computers. So Hulk literally wrote out the whole script how he wanted it to go. And he was asking Vince McMahon, is Andre okay with that? And Vince went, I don't know, you go ask him. And Andre went, I got this. Don't worry. I got this. And Hulk's like, I don't know what to expect, but he had it scripted where I'm going to throw the first punch, you block it, and then one thing led to another. But it was basically like watching Rocky. I mean, I saw behind the scenes look at Rocky the first time they choreographed the scenes of his famous fight with Apollo Creed in the movie, and you know, and how they had to choreograph all that. What's like that with wrestling? Yeah, guys got hurt a lot. I mean, you're getting body slammed. That's not fake. But how you stage it, how you play it, how you react to each other in the ring, how they whisper things to each other. Now you pick me up and throw me against the turnbuckle, and I'll, you know, that whole thing. That's, of course, it was, and that people love it. It's high entertainment. That's all.
Yeah, that's what.
But
it
was. That's who it was. It was Bruno Sammartino, I think it was.
Were there any? I saw the news conference on television, but I didn't get the gist of it. Any charges on the Prince death?
Oh, it was, no. I watched the whole thing today. It was the county attorney from. Carver County did a terrific job of outlining the whole thing. It makes it even more tragic and sad because Prince apparently did not know he was taking counterfeit fentanyl, which was disguised in another pill that he had been taking. The doctor he was seeing was fined and agreed to pay a $30,000 fine for prescribing oxycodone to his friend, Keith Johnson, I believe. So he took accountability for that, but no one knows. And Prince did not have a cell phone, which is really fascinating. We knew how private a guy he was, but
he didn't have a cell phone. Seriously,
did not have a cell phone. So there's no way of tracking any sort of text messages or emails or anything else that could have happened to understand where these pills came from. And it's one of the things that is, and as the county attorney described later on, the opioid addiction and the death toll. A lot of it is traced to pills like the ones Prince took. Now, he almost died a couple days before that when he remembered he had to make that emergency stop. He was coming back from Atlanta, and they saved his life.
Yes, they did.
And so, I mean, again, personal responsibility belongs to Prince to know what you're putting in your body. But somehow, some way, he thought he was taking something else. He had hip pain. He had back pain. He had all these other things going on. And so there was no criminal charges filed, and it just adds to the tragedy because they don't have an answer. They can't charge anyone with a crime because there's nothing, there's no no lead to say where he got these pills from.
Your Twins club plays a marathon last night.
Well, they sure made up for all those postponements.
Yeah, they did indeed. Was it 16 innings the final?
Yeah, it lasted 5 hours and 13 minutes.
And Twins win 2-1.
Yeah, it was a fascinating game. I mean, Jose Barrios, a very emotional night for him pitching.
How could it not be?
Well, I mean, he was pouring sweat, and he was breezing through the lineup, and Carrasco was equally as good for Cleveland. It was a great pitching matchup, and I was critical on Twitter, using the word critical, second-guessing.
Were you?
Oh, Molitor, I said, he cruised through seven innings, throwing only
eight. But he hadn't pitched in more like a week or so? You don't want to blow out that
84.
He is your new ace.
I get it. I get it. And I know what I'm sure Molitor's.
We haven't had an ace since Jim Kitty Cott. We're not going to let this guy blow out his arm just because he's
Santana
in Puerto Rico.
I get it. I don't think he was going to blow out his arm in 84 pitches. He threw more than that against, was it the White Sox or whatever? That's fine. I understand when he gets your bullpen locked in. But and everyone else was doing their job, and it was Cleveland left. I don't know how many guys in scoring position couldn't get runners over. So they were having their own issues. It was an interesting game. It went on and on and on, and it looked like it was then going to be over in the was it the 14th inning when in Carson, in, what's his name?
He hit a home run.
Yeah.
But then Sano answered back.
Yeah, Sano hit one off a former Twin, Matt Belisle. Yeah. And the ball was not carrying in that ballpark last night.
Not at all.
And then the Twins got runners in scoring position, and their new hot hitter, Ryan Lamar, the Michigan kid.
And think about it.
He was just brought up.
He was not at first going to go on the trip,
right?
If you remember originally, and then they got to bring 26 guys, so they brought him along.
Well, they also brought
had
in,
he not been there, we might be still playing that game right now.
They also brought up Bucinets. I think that's how he pronounced his
name.
He had three strikeouts last night. Pitched, ended up getting the win. But Lamar's, I mean, he's had a good spring. Got noticed. Looks like a really good, nice utility guy. And with Byron Buxton out with on the disabled list, he'll be back next week. With migraine headaches, doing the Percy Harvin
thing. He'll be back next week.
Well, they hope so. Yeah, I mean, I hope that they'll figure it out.
Well, but, I got a new name for Lomo. I call him Slomo. I mean, this guy's just, it's...
talking about his bat speed?
His bat speed.
0 for 7 last night.
His running speed, all of it. He's...
0-68.
So far, he's been, you can't say it any more than abject failure.
Now, yeah, three for 44, and I'm going, well...
You know why? Because his launch angle. He thinks he's Babe Ruth. He thinks I'm going to hit a home run.
What, he had 38 home runs last year?
He thinks he's going to hit two home runs every four at-bats. It's like, you're not Babe Ruth.
Well,
make contact. He's a guy that needs to start just making some contact. Hit the ball, go to opposite field, get a cut, then let the power come to you. He thinks he's Barry Bonds. He thinks he's Babe Ruth. He's Hank Aaron. Well, you're not.
They had that shift on him again last night. And I was actually, on this point, I was on listening on the radio on the way home, and I think he tried to lay down a bunt, which makes sense because the entire left side of the infield was wide open. If you get the bunt down, there's no one that's going to throw you out unless somehow it goes right back to the pitcher.
They're already constructing a park in the Twin Cities named after Lomo.
I didn't know that.
Lomo Park, yeah. Well, it's kind of a stripped-down version. It's got three swings and a bench.
Wow.
I tell you, I don't have the giveaway sheet in front of me, but everyone knows about Britmania, right? It's the Beatles band. That's the next best thing to the Beatles. It's an incredible light show. They play Sgt. Pepper, Lonely Hearts Club Band. I think it's on the 28th, right? At Mystic Lake?
Friday, April 27th at Mystic Lake Casino.
Let's give away a pair of tickets to that right now. Love the caller. 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326.
That was good.
And now we take on Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah, they're off today. They're sure of having the games unless they have some sort of a dome collapse like they had up in Toronto. No, they'll play this weekend in the worst ballpark in America. Against a really bad Tampa Bay team, although they're facing the guy that the Twins were making noises about trying to get, Chris Archer. He was pitching on Friday night, and Lance Lynn's pitching for the Twins. So they got the other weekend, and then they go to New York.
Big Apple, your favorite city, the city that never sleeps.
Well, right up there.
Here's a phone call from Ross. Ross, you're on the fan.
Hey, Colin, you stole my bit. I was going to talk about Lomo.
You mean slow-mo?
I got a new chant for you. No, it's Lomo must go. Lomo must go.
Yeah, well, my guess is he will before too long if he keeps playing like he has now.
Yeah. I don't know what Kenny Vargas did to Maltor, but I can't imagine that he couldn't provide a little bit more than Lomo has.
Yeah.
Well, they fell in love with his, 38 home runs he did last year. So, they're not going to give up on him yet, but you can't just throw him in the lineup every day, especially as high as they haven't in the lineup.
Walter, the Secretary of
Insight. Oh, my goodness, Utah Jazz.
Walter.
Hey, Common. Hey, Mr. Rosen.
Walter, how are you? What happened to your Jazz last night?
Well, we went out and fought for that game, Common. It's very simple. It's very, very, just like the farm, just get out there and grow those crops and battle that weather, and that's it. And it was very, just that simple. We went out there and we fought for that game. Yep. And the Oklahoma City Thunder had been a team that had really pushed us around, during their season. That's why they had the fourth seed, because, we had the same records, but they really pushed us around. I mean, they really, really forced their physicalness on our team during the season. And they felt that all we got to do is the same thing. We're going to come in here, and we're going to push those Jazz around. And we're going to take the series. And that was the attitude. Yeah. I'm sure that's the attitude that they had. Yeah. But Joe Ingles, the veteran Joe Ingles, another one of our unsung heroes.
Yep.
He made it clear. He said, we are not going to back down to the Thunder. No. He said that before the series.
Yep, he did.
Yes, he did. And that's what you have. And that's why it's 1-1. Because the Jazz refused to give in.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And that's what the Timberwolves can't. They should do not give in. That's right.
Well, I tell you what, Ricky Rubio, after the loss of game one, he stayed after practice for some extra shooting. Looks like it paid off. He had 22 points last night and 9 assists. And how about Donovan Mitchell? Go, Donovan Mitchell. 13 of his 28 points in the fourth quarter. Go, Donovan Mitchell.
That's a fun team.
That's so tremendous. I mean,
Thank you.
We depend on this kid all year long. He was the only one that kept hope alive. He did. He was the only one.
That's it.
And then everybody else, then we got going. And like you said, our great assistant coach, Igor Kosakov.
Yes, Igor.
Done a tremendous job with Ricky Rubio.
Yep.
He is a teacher and a preacher of fundamentals. And he has.
It's exactly fundamentals. That's right.
That's what it's all about. And he got Ricky in there. They worked with Ricky. They didn't forsake him. I said on this radio station 2 weeks ago, I called the Jazz offices. I was so concerned about what I was seeing in radio. We were 19-28. I figured the season was over anyway. I called the Jazz offices. I said, look, why did you even acquire him?
I really did. Mm-hmm. I did that. And I don't know what happened after that, but something profound did happen.
Well, what happened was they listened to Walter, the Secretary of Insight.
Well, I don't think that.
In hardcore sports.
Well, I tell you what. What those coaches have done with Ricky Rubio is phenomenal. It really is. It really is. He is resurrected. He is the new Ricky Rubio. The old Ricky Rubio is a thing of the past.
Yeah.
He's the resurrected. You know, like Lazarus in the Bible. Lazarus was so low, and he was found. And this is tremendous. I love it. I just love it.
Yeah, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now can see.
It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. Yes. And like you said, Colin Donovan Mitchell, who, I mean, this kid, he's just a kid.
Yeah. He's a rookie. He's a kid.
He's part Dwayne Wade. I mean, you know,
yep. He's got some Dwayne. I see some Dwayne. That's very insightful, Walter, because I see a lot of Dwayne Wade in him.
I tell you what, he's got some. He's part Dwayne Wade. He's part Kawhi Leonard. He is.
That's a great combination to have. I take that combination any day of the week. Twice on Sundays.
I would not trade him for anybody in the playoffs.
You kidding me?
He's a player that's in the playoffs now. There's some great players. I wouldn't trade him for. I wouldn't trade him for LeBron.
I wouldn't take two LeBron James. I wouldn't take two LeBron James for one Donovan Mitchell.
I wouldn't. I love LeBron. He's wonderful.
Yeah.
Best player in the world.
Now they're back to Utah, right?
I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't.
They go back to Utah now, right?
They go to the Salt Palace.
They go back to Salt Lake. And,
oh, my goodness.
You know, hey, it's 1-1. But the thing is, you can't give in. Just
no.
Because you get down 1-0.
Larry Miller, Salt Palace.
Even 3-0, I have been a proponent.
Yes.
I battled Dan Barrero. It was 3-0.
Yeah.
Chicago was up 3-0 on Seattle. And I said it was not. I told that to Dan Barrero, it's not over.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. Some guys like to run up the white flag, Walter. They won't stand tall. Thanks so much, Walter. We got to go. The music's playing.
Stand by your team. Stand by your team.
Stand by your man. Thanks, right. Walter, the Secretary of Insight. Standing by his man. Oh, that was a good way to end the program. But the high energy that is a hardcore sports host, Walter, the Secretary of Insight.
He's amazing.
We'll see you Monday, right?
Correct. Have a good weekend.
Beautiful. You too, Art Rosen. Teddy, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You too. We enjoyed our visit with you. Thanks for sharing part of your day with us. We're back tomorrow at 12 noon, but stick around. Don't turn that dial. Big Ticket, Dan Barrera, the Tasteless Box of Mashed Potatoes, JGR next.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
Listen back to a podcast of today's show. Visit the Common Man channel on the iHeartRadio app or go to KFAN.com.